play a game?
Why, yes, I believe we shall.
Oh, I got a live one here.
Getting geeky all up in your podcast, it's Shane Plays Geek Talk, a journey into the things we love. I'm your host, Shane Stacks. Thanks so much for pressing play. This week we have returning guest, roughly a year ago, Alan T. Growey Jr., a.k.a. Growdog, joined us, and we talked about many things, including Osric, which is a... not open source. What am I?
Old school retro clone.
It yeah, is open OSR. Source,
kind of.
Yeah. It's open source. OSR, a version of basically AD&D, and it helped kick off. It contributed to the overall OSR movement that we know. And I very much consider this episode a companion to that we recorded about a year ago. In fact, I just listened to a good bit of that, getting ready to talk to you again, Alan. And I think that was a really good conversation for anybody who's interested into the history of D&D. I mean, you walked across a really, really wide range of really interesting topics for D&D and its history. But one of the things that came up while we were talking a year ago is that how you're a deep, deep, deep fan of the Greyhawk setting, which is, you know, as I'll just go and say now, I think it was now Tekamel, the Empire of the Petal Throne, I think was the first setting published by TSR, but yeah. That wasn't specifically a D&D setting. That was kind of its own thing.
Its own using game. Own implementation of D&D essentially.
Right.
Yeah. In right. many ways, Tekamel was the first clone system on some level.
Right. Yeah. It's actually heavily modified OD&D.
Yeah.
Our mutual friend Victor Raymond enlightened me to that. So Victor Raymond, of course, heavily involved with Tekamel Foundation, lots of exciting stuff going on over there.
Chatting
right
with Victor earlier today.
I love Tekamel, and I'll shut up on that now, or I'll take half the episode talking about Tekamel. Tekamel has the distinction of Empire of the Petal Throne, I should say, of being the first setting published by TSR, but Greyhawk is the first D&D setting published by TSR. Now there was the Blackmoor supplement in 1974 or something like that. I have to go look
at 75. Blackmoor came out at the end of 75 as supplement 2.
Right.
And Greyhawk was supplement 1, which also came out in 75. But neither really had much detail about the campaign setting.
About the world themselves. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So then I actually went and looked. I wanted to make sure I wasn't misspeaking, but there was the supplement for OD&D called Blackmoor, which was Dave Arneson's campaign that he'd been building, which out of which by working with Gary Gygax, and I always say it's the peanut butter and chocolate. It's Reese's peanut butter cups. You don't get it without the peanut butter and chocolate. You don't get D&D without Arneson and Gygax. I always say that.
Yep.
Even though Gygax was hugely instrumental in getting D&D out there and formalized with a rule system and all that. I mean, I try not to diminish either. So Blackmoor came out.
Yeah.
And the supplement of Blackmoor actually didn't contain a lot of information about the world of Blackmoor. And then in 1980, Greyhawk, I believe it was a box set when it first came out.
It was actually not. It was a box set in 83. And then the very
So before that, it was version. Not box set. Okay.
That's right. Yeah. The first version was the Greyhawk Folio. And I can go grab one here, but it was a folder. And it was because the maps were too big to fit in a standard size box. So it's sort of like a classic Trapper Keeper folder. With Darlene's art and the Herald.
I was going to ask you if Darlene did those, if those were Darlene's maps, but yes, they were.
Yeah,
okay. Darlene, of course, being She's really well known, and you know, among D&D artists. But I think she's most well known for her maps, right? I mean, she did these, like, people always want to get a signed copy of her maps and stuff like that. So, but anyway, so in 1980 you had the Greyhawk Folio,
right?
And then in 1983 you had a box set of Greyhawk. But the point is that that Greyhawk, although I'm sure there were other campaigns around there out in the world, D&D itself came around in 74. So you had 6 years and all that homebrew, this and that and the other, but that was the first one that crossed the line, the finish line, as first published setting for D&D
from
TSR. That distinguishes it
from TSR.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
Judges Guild certainly beat them to the punch on that score as well with the Wilderlands of High Fantasy and all that. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, let's further distinguish it from TSR,
yeah.
Which I think that's important, though, because TSR was, you know, they were D&D, you know, and they were we don't have the hobby as we know it without TSR. We don't have D&D. Agreed. We don't have all that. Yeah. So I think it's significant that it's the first one that they put out. And the second point, I think it's very important to point out that it was Gary Gygax's personal campaign that he had been running with his family and friends. In fact, many of the people, Big B and Melf and Tensor and all, these were people at his gaming table. Right. And then, so you see people, this stuff.
There were characters played. By folks in the campaign. Some of them were his family, his children, and others were obviously other participants. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's important from that distinction, but it's also it's more than just a historical footnote. You know, as you kind of touch a little bit, we didn't spend a lot of time in our podcast. I think it was episode 264, I think, and this episode coming out, this is 274. So it's been a year, 10 episodes. You touch on it a little bit in that episode, that it's just a really cool setting in its own right. It's not just a historical footnote. It has a lot of fans. It does a lot of stuff right, a lot of stuff cool. One of the things I like about it that you touched on and that, you know, other people read about, that I've read about other people talking about, is that it's an established setting, but they leave a lot of room for you to fill in your own stuff, which I think is cool. So that appeals to, because there's a lot of people, they want to homebrew, right? They're like, I'm not buying something that I'm going to homebrew.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for somebody to giving you a framework to work with. You know, that saves you some time, and then you can go in and so touch on that a little bit, if you would, like even the hexes are 30 miles wide. So, you know, there's plenty of room.
So. Yeah, there is a lot of room. Yeah. So Darlene's maps, as you said, you know, they're 30 mile hexes, and you know, I've got one hanging right there on the wall. It's a fairly large, you know, space. So there's lots of room on the map. And the 30-mile hexes are sort of interesting when you compare it to the Wilderlands of High Fantasy size, because while Judges Guild used larger physically sized hexes for their hex grid, they were bigger than the hexes on the Darlene maps. The scale on them was smaller. They were 5-mile hexes, which was the standard size Judges Guild used, and that many old school gamers kind of still prefer that 5 or in the OSR 6-mile hex size. So Greyhawk's hexes were 30 miles, and there it creates a much larger environment to game in. There's you know, Greyhawk's built with a lot of space, to play with, to build and fill out and give you room for that home brewing. Wizards, when they did their research for third edition and they did that big marketing study at the late 1990s, they said, you know, about half of D&D players prefer to homebrew. And then the other half prefer, you know, various settings and stuff like that. So that gives room to kind of accommodate both. Greyhawk is this great kind of meet in the middle between building everything from scratch and a, you know, kind of a fully imagined for you setting like the Forgotten Realms or Dark Sun or right. whatever. You know, there's a lot of differences in the volume of material that was published for the various campaign settings they did. But, you know, kind of Forgotten Realms is the one that certainly had the most stuff published for it, as not in terms of novels, supplements, adventures, all that stuff.
Forgotten Realms, you know, I think and I'm not, you know, we're here to talk about Greyhawk, but I will say for Forgotten Realms, you know, Ed Greenwood worked on that as his personal fantasy world or whatever. Even before D&D came, I mean,
right.
there was a lot of backstory to it. Then, you know, he brought it to TSR, ended up selling it to TSR.